This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Basic medical decisions, when to call an ambulance, when to go to the emergency room or to urgent care or even your regular physician, are all more difficult these days because of COVID-19. Last night, Dr. Elizabeth Poorman, a primary care physician and professor of internal medicine at the University of Washington School of Medicine, joined us to help us answer those questions, and there were a lot of them. So she was nice enough to agree to come back tonight to tackle a few more. Dr. Poorman, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Thank you.
So first, can we clarify something? It's been reported that some ERs have seen a drop in visits related to heart attacks and strokes, apparently because those patients, potential patients, fear the coronavirus. When should people go to the emergency room or call an ambulance?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because a lot of the death and injuries that we're seeing now are not directly from the coronavirus, but because people are afraid to access care. So I think the same things that would bring you to an emergency room in a normal situation should prompt you to call an ambulance or talk to your primary care doctor. So if you have chest pain, if you're short of breath, if you really feel like something is wrong, you know, I would get in touch with medical personnel so they can help you decide what to do next.
And another question that we had that we didn't get to go to last night is, what about people who don't have a regular physician?
Yeah, that's a very difficult issue. And, you know, as your listeners probably know, half of the people in this country before the pandemic were uninsured or underinsured, and now millions more are going to be joining those. So I think that that's a big problem for a lot of people. But, you know, many offices have a nursing line that you can talk to. You can always call 911. And many departments of health also have retired physicians and other healthcare personnel who are willing to take your calls.
Well, that's helpful. So thanks for that. So let's get to the questions from listeners. Jeremy in Portland wants to know, what constitutes an underlying condition?
First of all, I'm 67, generally in pretty good health, but I'm probably officially pre-diabetic now. And the other thing is, 25 years ago, I spent a summer on a floor full of mold and ended up with walking pneumonia. And I feel my lungs were like mildly damaged by that. So I just, you know, wonder if a combination of these things all make me at greater risk than your normal 67-year-old.
And Doctor, I have to tell you, we've been getting a lot of questions from people who are wondering, like, what conditions should they be concerned about? So what can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, in this country, the biggest risk factors for death from coronavirus are age, underlying health conditions, and poverty. And for age, really what we see is the risk goes up at about the age of 50 and continues to rise with every year. In terms of health conditions, it's really from early data, and I want to stress that, you know, like a lot of things, this can change. But what we're seeing is that heart disease, diabetes, and certain types of cancer really seem to be putting people at the highest risk, and especially if those are not well controlled. So I think if Jeremy is working with his doctor, he's probably okay. But for his age, I would certainly recommend that he continue to social distance.
Our next question is about what happens to the immune system when you stay home for an extended period. Let's listen.
My name is Melanie Sullivan. Does staying home and sheltering in place negatively affect your overall immune health? There's been some discussion that because immunity is based on exposure, not being exposed to the outside world and all the bacteria and flora of the environment is actually negatively affecting a person's overall immune health during this crisis. Thank you.
Is there any evidence that this is true?
You know, I don't think that there is any evidence that, you know, being at home for a few weeks or a few months even is going to negatively impact your immune system. But there are some things that will, like not exercising, which, you know, certainly is an issue if you're not moving around as much. Not sleeping well, and definitely an increase in alcohol consumption, which a lot of us are definitely seeing. So I do talk to patients about how to stay healthy when they're sheltering in place.
If you have a question for Dr. Elizabeth Poorman, you can send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation. You can share it on social media using the hashtag NPRConversation. Or you can call us and leave a message at 202-403-0386. Again, that number is 202-403-0386. And Doctor, I think we talked about this too yesterday. A lot of people are trying to decide whether to postpone long scheduled surgeries. Shelby in Pennsylvania has a question about that.
My 7-year-old daughter was born with a little ear and no ear canal. We are in the process, or what's really a journey, of a series of surgeries to build an ear canal, an eardrum, and finally a new, typically shaped external ear. We're scheduled to have her fly to Los Angeles to perform the external ear surgery. Should we continue to tentatively plan to go from Pennsylvania, where our county is a coronavirus hotspot, to Los Angeles this summer, if possible, for an elective surgery, which has been 7 years in the making?
And Dr. Portman, one of the reasons I appreciated you is that you pointed out that, you know, it's not just the surgery, it's all the things that go into it, right? This is one of the things that you pointed out, is that health is a lot of things. And so what advice would you have? I mean, obviously this is a very particular case, but I'm sure a lot of people have similar things that are just important that they've been waiting a long time to get done. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Health is not just the diagnosis and the treatment. It's the entire patient's life. So I think the heart of Shelby's question is really, what should patients be doing about what we call elective procedures? So those procedures that are not emergencies, but are still really important to get done. And so the questions that I would encourage her to ask her care team are, you know, what are the risks of us doing this now? How can we keep ourselves and potentially other people safe, you know, if you're coming from a hotspot? And what are the risks if we do decide to delay the surgery?
And what about that common surgical procedure for young children, you know, having those small tubes installed in their ear canals to help ease ear infections? What about, you know, common childhood surgeries like that, but they have a purpose? How should parents navigate something like that?
Yeah, so again, I think it's about talking to your care team and saying, really, you know, how urgent is this? And then some other questions I might ask are, you know, how are you and your staff preventing the spread of the virus in the clinical setting? And what's the risk if we decide to delay?
Okay. And I have one final question. We don't have time to play the whole thing, but it's the whole question about signing a do not resuscitate order. Mm-hmm. And I think the listener is worried that, does that mean she might not get treatment? What can you say about that?
Yeah, we could do a whole show on that, but I think, you know, one of the things that I really try to focus on in my practice, and especially now, is talking to people about their fears of death. You know, what kind of things are they worried about, and what kind of things do they hope for? And I think it's so important always to have those conversations with your doctor and with your family so that we can focus on your values.
That's Dr. Elizabeth Portman. She's a doctor of internal medicine at the University of Washington. Dr. Portman, thanks so much for joining us once again. We really appreciate it. And if you have questions about health insurance during the pandemic, we want to help. Send them to npr.org/nationalconversation on Twitter. Use that hashtag, NPR Conversation, or call us at 202-403-0386. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.